It's time for Money for Lunch, where we feed your brain and your business with supersized portions of business and financial news. Now your host, Bert Martinez.
Welcome to Money for Lunch. Glad that you're here. And it is interesting that how this artificial intelligence is changing so many industries. And I think it was Emory University came out with a report 2 years ago, and it concluded in this report that something like 40% of all jobs will be replaced with some kind of cognitive computer or artificial intelligence. And you see it happening. Phoenix, Uber has a fleet of driverless cars that they're testing. We see there's a company that created a burger machine, burger robot, that can create multiple burgers just like a real person can. It can cook them. It can identify their, cooking temperature, their temperature. It knows when to flip them. And then what's amazing is this robot can change from, the spatula. It can change all that. And so it is amazing what is happening. All right, today's quote: strength and growth come only through continued effort and struggle. Author unknown. The other thing that I do want to mention is we lost this week. Stephen Hawking. And I just admired this guy so very much. He contracted ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, sometime when he was like 21 or 22. And typically, this disease doesn't strike until you're in your 50s. And it ravishes the body, and you typically last about 4 or 5 years. And so they expected him to last about 4 or 5 years. And, of course, he lasted forever. I think he was 70-something when he passed away. But to me, he was a total badass. Because he was a great example that the mind can overcome so much, that we as humans can overcome so much. He was never a victim. He wrote books. He created movies. He won awards. He stopped doing the stuff that he loved to do. So I should have really done a quote from Stephen, and I will. So Stephen Hawking: science is not only a disciple of reason, but also one of romance and passion. Dr. Stephen Hawking. And somebody said Stephen Hawking is one of those guys that made science cool. So It all depends on where you're at, right? I mean, you can have a pity party, but here's Stephen Hawking, who did more with the resources he had than most able-bodied people do in a lifetime, right? I mean, this guy was just nonstop. So anyway, just appreciate his example. I thought the guy was awesome. And anyway, speaking of cool scientists, speaking of artificial intelligence, today's show is with my guest, Stephen Perun. Stephen Perun is offering management lead for automotive and connected vehicles for IBM's Watson IoT, Internet of Things, business unit, and has worked with automotive and electronics clients for 25 years. He is trained as a mathematician and scientist. He has a new book out called with his co-writer, My Cognitive Automobile Life, Digital Divorce from a Cognitive Personal Assistant. Stephen Perun, welcome to Money for Lunch.
Thank you.
All right, so let's talk about your book real quick. I mean, you guys are sitting around, and I know you have a co-author, but we can definitely talk about him as well. But so let's talk about how this book came about. What was it? What was the catalyst or the motivation? What was it that you guys saw out in the marketplace where this book had to be written?
It started with really all the hype and everything going on around autonomous driving and self-driving cars and all of that. And also a lot of the other technologies going on with cars, right? And it seemed like every article you read, everything that people were talking about, you know, tomorrow the car was going to pick you up and would take care of your kids and you'd never have to drive again, right? And
right.
You know, if you look at the, an SAE standard or something, right? I mean, that's what's called level 5 autonomy, right? Where there's nobody involved in driving except the car itself, right? And so everything was so different. So then what, you know, you were kind of reading about. So we kind of took that plus a lot of other factors out, the biggest one being the personal assistant, and looked at all of those factors and first tried to ground everybody, explain to them what, you know, AI, I heard you talking about that, you know, what machine learning, what all these things are, right? It's not like the car is going around and learning, right? No, it was trained and it learned how, what's a ball and what's another car, right? But, you know, tried to explain to everybody fundamentally what that was and then took them through all these levels, right? So just like there's a level 5 autonomous car, there's a, you know, there someday there'll be this level 5 personal assistant, right? Maybe we're at kind of level 3 right now with these Siri and Bixby's and you know, Alexa kind of things, right? But those are going to improve and the cars are going to improve. So then we just kind of went through the generations and kind of played out this whole thing, and along comes the book. So that's how it got started.
Awesome, awesome. All right, so let's talk about this. Who is the book for? I mean, one of the things I want to say, by the way, whether or not you're into science, I think the book is, you guys did a great job as far as making it, for everybody, I think. I mean, it's certainly not a technical manual or anything. It's a great read. But what did you guys, when you're writing the book, how did you guys decide, hey, who's our reader? What we're gonna include in the book? Talk about this a little bit.
Yeah, obviously both of us having, you know, a technical background, Sebastian and I, and thanks for that. Trying to, you know, the comment about, you know, toning it down so anyone could read. So it's obviously a lot of it has to do with this automotive industry and people around it. Now, what the automotive industry used to be was, you know, GM, Chrysler, Ford, whatever, right? At least in the U.S. But now it's Uber, Lyft, Car2Go. I mean, companies and names and things you've never heard of before, because really mobility and automotive are just changing right in front of our eyes. So it's for really that kind of whole mobility industry. And more than that, it also basically, because if you look at this Internet of Things, the automotive industry is mature in that, or this mobility industry is pretty mature when you think about the Internet of Things. We also use that as a great example for other companies. We talk about value and business cases and monetization and all of these kinds of, and organizationally, right? What companies that were very product-oriented need to do to become very service-oriented, or, you know, change their business model and change the, you know, how their companies are organized so they can connect with their customers in a much different way, right? So it goes beyond just, you know, the whole phase of create an app and, you know, pop it out on the phone and you're kind of done, right? There's just all kinds of new interactions and things you can do with products. So there's a lot of great lessons learned in there because, you know, again, the automotive industry has been doing it for quite a while, even back to commercial trucking, right? Farming has incredible automation and all of this kind of similar technology. So using kind of those industries and things to say, hey, look, everybody, this is what you can kind of think about, learn about. And then also this, the final kind of, you know, and obviously with the catchy title around the digital divorce, was also to get anybody and everybody thinking about what these personal assistants are really going to be in the future, right? And in the way that people know what the internet and cookies and all these kinds of things are doing, and they know when they search it's all of a sudden going to be in their Facebook or whatever. I mean, everybody's kind of acceptance of that now. Well, personal assistants are going to be a bit different. you know, you're going to be talking to them more. You're going to be interacting with them in a different way. There's tones. There's other things you're saying. All of that that can now come into play that's not just a simple two-word search thing, right? So,
right.
And what this assistant will become, like even the car could become an assistant, right, as you're talking to these cars in the future that may even transform and help you with other things around your house if you want to go way out to the Jetson era. But you're really getting connected to these brands that are associated with these assistants, right? So take Siri, if you've met Apple people, if you're an Android person, whichever, right? But I'm sure you've met the crazies that, I mean, if they have Apple, everything, man, they've got Apple TV, they've got Apple phone, they've got iPads, they got Macs, they got, you know, and they're using Siri and they're talking to all of these things. And that brand now is very hard to, you know, this isn't like the old days when you just took your phone and loaded your contacts, you know, and clicked a couple things and got your email loaded again, right? It's a lot harder to now change between a Siri and a Google Assistant or a Bixby and Alexa. And that's where this whole cognitive life is coming from, right? These certain brands and certain companies are really wanting to own and interact with people as much as they can throughout their day. So,
absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's talk about this real quick. Talk about this connected cars thing. You know, and I think in the book you talk about connected cars and data defined vehicles. Talk about what this means.
So data, you think, you know, think about now what really people are seeing is what's called software defined, or that's like your phone. It's kind of really software defined, right? You can load apps on it just like that, and you can car, and there's a lot of software in your car. This idea of data defined is that the real-time data, right, the context of data, is now going to define what the car can do, right? Maybe from, you know, real-time weather, from real-time traffic, from, you know, if you're going to work, if you're doing a personal drive, all of those things can actually kind of will ultimately change the characteristics of the car, right? So all of this data now will you know, be used to create these new personalized experiences, right? Obviously, Surrey, in a way, is starting to get pretty data defined because it's looking at your, if you let it, right? It's looking at your calendar. It's looking at these things, right? To, you know, understand how to answer better, right? So, and cars and IoT devices will kind of, you know, in the sense of generations, you know, will move, you know, more to this data defined world.
Yeah, it's interesting when you start, as you said, this data defined world, and you, something else that you said, you know, how we interact with these personal assistants, these artificial intelligent personal assistants. One of the things that I've noticed when people interact with, let's say, Alexa, is when, you know, they'll ask Alexa to do something or, you know, retrieve some data or turn on the lights, there's no thank you afterwards, right? Because it's just, yeah, it's just a machine. So that is, to me, something that, you know, how will that affect our world as we move forward? You know, will we become, you know, I could just simply see us talking to each other as we would to an Alexa-type device without the courtesies, right?
Yeah, possibly. But it's also that, you know, you think about Surrey and some of the other types of conversational systems that are getting built now with some of these new technologies, right? You know, Alexa's really that, has a very command and control foundation, right? Order Tide, right? Order pizza, you know, just like the speech in your car. But ultimately, the systems will become more conversational, right? And actually, it's more less of what you're saying, right? It's more that the conversation with the machine will be more like how you talk with people. And you won't have to, like today, think about, oh, you know, it took me a couple of weeks to figure out commands in my car and, okay, exactly how did I get to the online points of interest and these kind of things. So, you know, there's always that kind of stuff. Whereas if you could have a conversation with it and say, well, hey, what's the best, you know, Audi, what's the best way to, you know, get online points of interest? And I could get an answer back. That's what you'll see in the future, not this, okay, go through help, click, say help, here's a list of commands. Oh, wait, find, well, is it find, is it this? So a lot of those things will really change that type of interaction.
Yeah. Let's talk about this real quick. The title of the book, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the title of the book is, let me see if, where it's at, My Cognitive Automobile Life, Digital Divorce from a Cognitive Personal Assistant. So talk about this, because in the book, you know, obviously, or in the title of the book, you have auto and then mobile is all uppercase. So talk about the difference between automobile and your term that I just described, automobile, with everything mobile in or mobile in capitals.
Yeah, so more automobile. So, yeah, actually, that came from Sebastian's first book, as he was writing about this transformation that obviously everybody has seen now and is a part of, that's been going on with mobility and that's been happening to the automotive industry. I mean, when Uber at one point reached the capitalization of GM, I think that kind of really woke everybody up, right? In his first book, he defined this transformation. Everybody was seeing it. And what he did was say the industry, as I said, with a typical product to services transformation, right? Originally, their focus was on the capital auto, right? And the lowercase mobile, right? Or mobile. Because it was very much the physical thing, right? The engine, the look, the feel, right? These emotions you had with this, more of a physical connection with your car, right? And then he defined this trend as automobile, as we have it in this book, and we've, again, elaborated on it more, right, from the personal assistant standpoint, et cetera. But to really define the industry now as, you know, mobile or mobility, right? And that, as I said in the beginning, you know, it's, you're not just thinking about the big three anymore. You're thinking about Uber and Lyft and car share, ride sharing, all these different types of things, you know, that are out there helping you get around in your life now. We just basically, I mean, everybody kind of knew that transition was going on. He defined this in his book. He focused more on the, in his first book, the organizational aspects of companies, right, and how they have to change, because now you're really making products, and that's one of the kind of the biggest lessons learned. I mean, you think about product companies, all their engineering and everything is in the beginning, right? All of that big R&D, big design, big phases, and then over time, you know, they go through a process and a product is released. Well, wait a second. Now your product is actually an interaction with the customer after it's released. Oh, my God, right? How do you – now your R&D, your application, your people all need to either be in IT or in some other – or, you know, okay, what? How do I deal with all this stuff after the car is sold? They didn't understand that, right? They weren't accustomed to that. And actually most – I mean, from air conditioners to fridge, I mean, anything that's physically built, it kind of follows that typical product design methodology, right? And there has to – there's going to be big changes around it, so –
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail right on the head. We're seeing, you mentioned air conditionings. We have refrigerators. We have toaster ovens. We have coffee makers. All of these things are connected, and they're getting smarter, and or whatever term you want to use. So it's going to be amazing. Let's talk about this a little bit. With the research that you guys have done, are there other kinds of companies that you see are leading the charge, any companies that come to mind as far as the forefront of this shift, you know, from cars to mobility?
Yeah, I mean, really in cognitive life, it's, you know, we kind of end and talk about in the ending chapters, right, these things that are doing, but it's really the Amazons, the Apples, the Googles, right, that are these brands, these and Samsung, right, kind of fell in love with Samsung after the whole exercise, right, and doing a lot of the research, right, that you look at all of these companies and, wow, look at this. I mean, Samsung makes appliances, Samsung phones, Samsung Bixby, Samsung TVs. I mean, when don't you touch something from Samsung, right? Harman, they acquire Harman. They're involved in vehicles, right? And each of those companies, if you look at it, are kind of doing the same thing. So it's really those brands and powerhouses that have these personal assistants, right, that are really looking to interact with you, you know, much, much more in many more ways, whether it has to do with mobility or your shopping or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And the same thing with Google, right? Because Google is on, you know, they have their own phone. And even if you don't have a Google Pixel phone, a lot of these phone companies, including iPhone, use some of the Google products, such as Maps or Search or something like that. So Google's everywhere. Now they have the Google Assistant, Google spending a lot of R&D money in robots, right? They acquired two or three different robotic companies, and these robots are still, I want to say, clunky, but they're amazing to watch. You know, you can push on them and they're able to respond. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's, you know, and this is where you can go really far out, because now you can start thinking about these robots and transformers, and we kind of use a couple of those paradigms in the book, right, that, you know, you can say, okay, now you can cut my grass, and now you can take me here, and, you know, now you can do all these different things, right, and you're actually talking and interacting with these things, and I think that's why these companies are looking at all of that, because of the automation, you know, not just what you need to automate cars, or whether it's manufacturing equipment, or whatever, right? So that's just one of those pieces in those puzzles.
Right. Now, I think in the book you talk about it's only going to take a decade or so for instance, for cars to completely transform. Talk about this a little bit.
Yeah, because you're going to start to see, right, and it's just, okay, when really is level five? Is it 2030? I mean, you've got a lot of regulations, insurance companies, everybody's going to be in the middle of that, right? But certainly you're already seeing Tesla, you're already seeing these cars, you're already seeing lots of pilots. You know, they're going to, you know, probably have a lot of more of these kind of controlled environments and in areas that are you know, much better suited for the cars, college campuses, right? So there's going to be a lot of these areas where you'll really see this stuff, right? You won't see the total extreme of, you know, just, hey, I just saw this thing go whizzing by, right? You know, there's still a lot of major technical issues to, you know, to get through and handle. So yeah, but it's going to be fun to see and fun to see that transformation. And people should just think about, as I said, think about the personal assistant, think about these interactions, think about this new type of mobility, but don't get caught up in all the hype and think that you just send your robot off to pick up your kid at school now, right? So,
right. Well, and you know, what is it that cartoon? Not cartoon. I guess it's an animated movie, WALL-E, where you know. Because the robots were doing everything, we had all become fat and lazy. And, you know, in this case, a lot of us are already fat and lazy, you know, and the robots aren't anywhere near what the hype is all about or in this WALL-E movie depiction. But I think that, once you start seeing these transformations, you know, I at the beginning of the show, I mentioned this company is now experimenting with this making robot, and it's a working restaurant. It's in California, and this robot makes hamburgers, and he, you know, the machine can flip the burgers, put it on the bun, add the condiments, and kind of deliver it to the server, and that's a huge thing. I mean, you know, you look at these they're not automatic, the self checkout cash registers that we all have gotten used to. Amazon now is playing around with the cash register less, you know, the stores, right? So these stores, Amazon stores that have no cash registers at all, and you know, with your membership, you can go in and out, and it scans everything. You know, those are going to be massive transformations. I mean, not only is that going to revolutionize a lot of retail industry, but it's going to change the workforce.
Oh yeah, I mean, and it's people have talked about that. I mean, I've manufacturing for a while. I mean, that's really the first place you kind of see it. You know, people talk about, oh, all those jobs are going to go away and all these things are going to change. But you know, it's actually really starting to happen now, and you're really starting to see it more and more, like, you know, certainly I think in our generation, you know, the kind of movies that had these kind of things in it. So yeah, it's getting really exciting. I mean, it's an amazing thing. You know, to see and be a part of and write something about, kind of, you know, put it in a context as well. So,
yeah, no, it's amazing. Again, ladies and gentlemen, the book is called My Cognitive Automobile Life. My Cognitive Automobile Life, Digital Divorce from a Cognitive Personal Assistant. I want to say thank you so much for stopping by and sharing with us. It has been the book is fascinating. It's available at Amazon or wherever good books are sold. But it is interesting that we really are in this. You know, we're starting to see the infants start to attempt to walk, for lack of better terms. Right, we're still seeing a lot of massive changes and disruption. And right now, it's not 100% clear, Stephen, where things are going to go or how they're going to end up. But we are now at the edge of all this change.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, and it's going to be fun to see. And these companies are, you know, the Amazon and Googles and Teslas, and there's a lot of innovative companies really doing some great things. So,
absolutely. And I think, you know, this is something that we're going to see more and more of. Stephen, again, thank you so much for stopping by and sharing. It's been a blast.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Absolutely. Good stuff there from Stephen Perrune. Again, the book is called My Cognitive Automobile Life, and Digital Divorce from a Cognitive Personal Assistant. You start thinking about this stuff, and it really reminds me of Skynet, for those who are fans of Terminator, where Skynet is this artificial intelligence, and it eventually takes over the government, the military, whatever. And because we, as humans, are, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess we're lazy. You know, I mean, you know, we let the GPS kind of tell us what to do or where to go. Even when we know the GPS is wrong, we still stick with it. So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. How involved are we going to allow these computers, these artificial intelligences, to permeate our lives? And how is that going to change everything? So a lot there to think about. As always, I want to say thank you so much for stopping by. And if you haven't done so already, please go to YouTube.com/Bert Martinez, YouTube.com/Bert Martinez. My latest videos, yep, some videos that I did with some of my celebrity friends. And as always, my friends, please share this show. Thank you so much. Remember, you were created to succeed.